Good evening. I hope you've had a wonderful day. Welcome to our Wednesday evening online Bible study. Will you pray with me tonight? Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day that you've blessed us with. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your love to us, God. And we just thank you this evening for your word. And as we open your word, God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, God. Change us, Lord, and help us to apply this word where we need to. We pray in your precious name. Amen. Tonight's Bible study is the second lesson in a series called Pitfalls. And this series is focusing on Rehoboam and what caused him to fall as king, and how we can avoid the same pitfalls along our own journey and achieve our purpose in the kingdom of God. In last week's lesson, we learnt that Rehoboam, the son of Solomon and the grandson of David, focused more on his heritage rather than his relationship with God. And that was the first pitfall that we learnt about. I'd like to take a little bit of time to just set the scene as to where our lesson takes place in the Bible. Our focus scripture will be from 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 1 to 16. So the books 1 and 2 Kings, although they're separate books in our Bible, they were originally one book telling a unified story that continued on from the book of Samuel. So we read that David has unified the tribes of Israel into a kingdom, and God has promised that the Messiah would come from his line. The book of Kings tells the story of a long line of kings that came after David. And of course, we see that these kings didn't follow in David's footsteps at all. So we start 1 Kings with Solomon's reign. Of course, that was David's son. And before David dies, he encourages Solomon to stay faithful to God. Solomon starts well in asking God for wisdom, and eventually he completes David's plan to build the temple. When Solomon finishes the temple, though, he starts to make some bad choices. He starts marrying daughters of other kings. He adopts their gods and introduces worship of these gods into Israel. He accumulates wealth, he builds a huge army, and he even institutes slave labor. By the time King Solomon dies, he resembles more the king, the Pharaoh of Egypt, more than King David. So we get to 1 Kings chapter 12, and we start reading about Rehoboam, who is Solomon's son. And he's acting just like his father. There's greed, lust for power. He increases taxes for slave labor. And under the leadership of under the leadership of Jeroboam, another one, the northern tribes reject this and they rebel and they form their own rival kingdom. So straight away we have in the reign of Rehoboam, the kingdom that David set up has split into two. One is headed by Jeroboam in the northern side, and then we have the southern kingdom, Judah, with the kings from the line of David, and the northern kingdom is called Israel. So in last week's lesson, we hear about the first pitfall I mentioned earlier, where Rehoboam, he valued that heritage he had, but he didn't have the relationship with God. And we see a destruction coming to him. He focused on that heritage. This week's lesson is called The Council of Friends Over the Wisdom of Elders. And this is the second pitfall that we see Rehoboam falling into. Before we read our main scripture, though, I'd like to ask you some questions just to have a think about before we go on. When you need advice, who do you turn to? Does the source of your advice change depending on your situation? So whatever the situation is, do you go to certain people for your answers? Do you have mentors in your life? Why do you have them? Or maybe why don't you have them? And if you were looking for a mentor, what qualities would you want that mentor to possess? Lots of good questions to think about. But let's turn to our portion of scripture in 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 1 to 16. It is a long portion, but I would like to read it as it tells the whole story that we're going to focus on this evening. 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 1 to 16, and I'm just reading from the New Living Translation. Rehoboam went to Shechem, where all Israel had gathered to make him king. When Jeroboam, son of Nebat, heard of this, he returned from Egypt, for he had fled to Egypt to escape from King Solomon. The leaders of Israel summoned him, and Jeroboam and the whole assembly of Israel went to speak with Rehoboam. "Your father was a hard master," they said. "Lighten the harsh labor, demands, and heavy taxes that your father imposed on us. Then we will be your loyal subjects." Rehoboam replied, "Give me 3 days to think this over, then come back for my answer." So the people went away. Then King Rehoboam discussed the matter with the older men who had counseled his father Solomon. "What is your advice?" he asked. "How should I answer these people?" The older counselors replied, "If you are willing to be a servant to these people today and give them a favorable answer, they will always be your loyal subjects." But Rehoboam rejected the advice of the older men and listened instead asked the opinion of the young men who had grown up with him and were now his advisors. "What is your advice?" he asked them. "How should I answer these people who want me to lighten the burdens imposed by my father?" The young men replied, "This is what you should tell those complainers who want a lighter burden. My little finger is thicker than my father's waist. Yes, my father laid heavy burdens on you, but I'm going to make them even heavier. My father beat you with whips, but I will beat you with scorpions." 3 days later, Jeroboam and all the people returned to hear Rehoboam's decision, just as the king had ordered. But Rehoboam spoke harshly to the people, for he rejected the advice of the older counselors and followed the counsel of his younger advisers. He told the people, "My father laid heavy burdens on you, but I'm going to make them even heavier. My father beat you with whips, but I will beat you with scorpions." So the king paid no attention to the people. This turn of events was the will of the Lord, for it fulfilled the Lord's message to Jeroboam, son of Nebat, through the prophet Ahijah from Shiloh. When all Israel recognized that the king had refused to listen to them, they responded, "Down with the dynasty of David. We have no interest in the son of Jesse. Back to your homes, O Israel. Look out for your own house, O David." So the people of Israel returned home. But Rehoboam continued to rule over the Israelites who lived in the towns of Judah. King Rehoboam sent Adoniram, who was in charge of forced labor, to restore order. But the people of Israel stoned him to death. When this news reached King Rehoboam, he quickly jumped into his chariot and fled to Jerusalem. And to this day, the northern tribes of Israel have refused to be ruled by a descendant of David. When the people of Israel learned of Jeroboam's return to Egypt, they called an assembly and made him king over all Israel. So only the tribe of Judah remained loyal to the family of David. So just in these few scriptures, we see the kingdom that David set up split into two. The northern kingdom ruled by Jeroboam and the southern kingdom ruled by Rehoboam. Oftentimes, the way we perceive a situation is not entirely accurate. It's not actually what is happening. That is why it is so important to always have voices in our lives that will speak honestly to us. We cannot always surround ourselves with people who will tell us what we want to hear. Sometimes we need people who will tell us the truth, even when it's in conflict with it being our own personal opinion. So Rehoboam's forefathers, they actually set a great example for him concerning when, how, and from who to receive counsel. Rehoboam's grandfather, David, expressed in the very first psalm the importance of avoiding the counsel of wicked people. In Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, we read, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked." Through his father, Solomon, the wisest man to ever live, and in fact was given supernatural wisdom from God, he still understood that there was a great deal of wisdom found in submitting to wise counsel. And Solomon, who wrote the Proverbs, we read several times in Proverbs 11, verse 14, "Where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." In Proverbs 12, verse 15, it says, "The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise." Proverbs 15, 22 says, "Without counsel, plans go astray, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established." Proverbs 28, 26 says, "He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered." David and Solomon knew the importance and the wisdom of having counsel in other people. So when the people approached Rehoboam, we read he understood the importance of counsel because he sent them away for 3 days and it gave him time to consult others about the implications of his decision. The problem was not that he sought counsel. It wasn't the question or from who he sought counsel, but the problem was Rehoboam's purpose for seeking the counsel. It was what was in his heart as he asked the questions of the people. Rehoboam asked the elders for their perspective. The elders expressed the importance of speaking kindly in order to win the affection of the people. By demonstrating a servant's heart, they advised that he would cause the people to serve him forever. And again, this would not have been unfamiliar advice for Rehoboam. We know David was a servant leader. He brought the heart of a shepherd to the throne of Israel. He fought alongside his mighty men in battle. Yet he demonstrated compassion and mercy, and even at times for those who should have been his enemy. Concerning the words that he spoke, David expressed in Psalm 19:14 a desire for his words to be pleasing to God. We read in that scripture, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." And we know Solomon, he spoke often of the importance of our words and the weight that they carry. This was not foreign to Rehoboam. It was in his family. He knew these things. It was Solomon who wrote, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." He also wrote in Proverbs 16:24, "Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones." Rehoboam should have known that this advice was godly and was wise. But these words did not reinforce Rehoboam's desires. He was at a crossroad. I'm sure he knew what should have done, but it's not what he wanted. He could have listened to the words of his elders or asked for a second opinion. But he chose the latter. He went to consult his friends. His friends did not have the life experience to speak from a standpoint of wisdom, as the elders did. They spoke from their own impulses, expressing what they would do if they were king. They were not concerned with the fallout of Rehoboam's decision and the impact on the people. their counsel was unwise. So his friends advised him to lay down the law and show the people who was boss. This resonated with Rehoboam and feeding the pride that was growing in his heart. So Rehoboam's decision to follow his friend's advice while rejecting the wisdom of elders revealed the true intentions of his heart. He was not really interested in seeking sound advice. He was only interested in validating his desires. And the fallout was great. He lost 10 of the 12 tribes of his adversary to his adversary Jeroboam, ultimately dividing the kingdom before his reign even really began. So Rehoboam's foolishness was not found in the fact that he sought counsel. That was a good thing that he did. His foolishness was in seeking counsel for validation of what he felt. Yes, we know in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. But counsel cannot protect us if we are not submitted. We can't just seek counsel expecting to receive the answer that we want. If we have godly counsel in our lives, we need to submit to that advice in our lives, even if it's not what we really want. The Bible clearly calls us in Hebrews 13 verse 17 to live a life of submission. We read, "Obey those who have the rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account." We never have a greater opportunity to demonstrate our submission than when we disagree with those God has placed in authority in our lives. If we disagree, that shows great submission when we submit to something we actually disagree with. Have you ever heard the expression, "You can't see the forest for the trees"? When you're in the middle of a situation, it's difficult to climb to the top and look at it with a greater perspective. The elders and the leaders that God has placed in your life have the ability to see the situation more clearly. Their perception is less clouded by emotions. They can see the reality of the situation and where the divergent roads laid before you will lead. It's important to trust others with advice when we're so caught up with our own situations and emotions. When we seek out only those who agree with us or choose to follow their advice in rejection to a multitude of counsel pointing to another way, we are not really submitting. Accountability is so important in our walk with God. But just as important as accountability is making wise decisions about who we are accountable to. Accountability to only those who agree with us is not accountability at all. If we are truly interested in making wise decisions in our lives, we must be mindful of who we allow to speak into our lives. Rehoboam had counsel in elders and his friends, but he chose the counsel of those who agreed with him. As Christians, we need to ensure we have godly advice surrounding us. A pastor, godly authority. It's important that we submit to where God has placed us. Of course, an added help in godly counsel is perhaps to have a mentor to work with us. And we see in the book of Acts, we often see that the apostles ministered in twos. They were often paired with newer or weaker Christians, were paired with more experienced ones in their kingdom work. Strong, rightly established mentors can provide a great deal of wisdom and direction when we face difficult decisions in our lives. Yes, we need mentors, we need godly wisdom, but we need to be careful how we establish those mentors, and that's really important. And we'll just go through 5 points as to how to select good, solid mentors for godly counsel. The first one, of course, is to pray to God to place the right mentors and spiritual leaders in your life. Because we see the need for mentors, we can find ourselves actually seeking out specific people, looking for people who we think, yeah, I want that person to be my mentor or that person to be my mentor. But these may not actually be the people that God wants to be our mentor. We need to pray for God to place the right mentors in our lives. The best mentors and spiritual leaders are not sought out by the person wanting the mentor. God will place men and women in your life who have a specific burden for you and your success. Pray that God will connect you with these people. The second important thing to remember is to be transparent with your pastor. Remember that God has placed your pastor in your life. Godly mentors will point to your pastor more than they point to themselves. If a mentor ever advises you to withhold information from your pastor or to do something that your pastor has asked you not to do, it's time to find a new mentor. You need to make sure your pastor knows who is speaking into your life and what they are saying. The third point to remember is to place a greater weight on the voices of those who are further down the road of life than you, the elderly people. Wisdom is often found among the aged. While even Job admits that not all elders are wise and not all young are foolish, experience is definitely life's greatest teacher. It's not wrong to seek advice from friends or peers, but that advice should be checked against other perspectives as well. We need to be submitted, even when you do not agree. We already mentioned that. Mentors and spiritual leaders often tell us things we do not want to hear. And this is because they can see clearly the areas of our character that are deficient. And out of love, they steer us to spiritual growth. Growth is always an uncomfortable process, but it's necessary for us. When you feel the desire to reject counsel you have received, always begin by questioning your intentions, by looking inward at your life. Do you want to go against their advice because it's uncomfortable or because you have real concerns? If you have legitimate concerns, talk about them. And the last thing, make all decisions prayerfully. Of course, no one is all-knowing, and that's the importance of seeking a multitude of counsellors. There's an old saying that says, 1,000 windmills cannot be wrong. However, all decisions have to be covered in prayer. So this has been a thorough lesson focusing on King Rehoboam and just another pitfall that led to his downfall. So I just looked up the word pitfall in the dictionary, and it says, a hidden or unsuspected danger or difficulty. A hidden or unsuspected danger or difficulty. Now, driving around Canberra lately, I have noticed, and you probably too, a lot of potholes. And I was thinking how potholes in the road are classified, would be classified as pitfalls. They are hidden or unsuspected danger or difficulty. You might be driving down the road very smoothly, minding your own business, and then a pothole just takes you by surprise and you have to swerve around it. So I had a look, I Googled the damage that potholes can cause to our car, and there's a lot of damage. You can have damage to the control arm of the car, and this connects the steering to the wheels, so the the steering goes all off, your suspension can be damaged, causing the car to shake or veer from side to side. The engine can even move from its mounts, and this can cause damage over a long period of time. Other damage includes bent wheel rims, body damage, and of course damage and puncture to the tyres. What damage can be done to our lives when we unexpectedly hit a pothole in our life or come across a hidden or unsuspected danger or difficulty? I know I've warned people about potholes. I've said, you know, be careful of the potholes on this road. And people have warned me about potholes also. And this evening we need to take a warning from the life of Rehoboam. Let's remember to not take counsel of friends over the wisdom of elders in our lives. I'd like to leave you with three challenging thoughts to think about this evening. When it comes time to seeking wise counsel, what do you struggle the most with? Do you struggle with trusting the advice? Do you struggle with submitting to that advice? Or do you struggle with the confidence of actually seeking out advice? What do you struggle with? The second one is, when I disagree with my pastor or other spiritual authority, what do I do? What's the thing that you do straight away? Do you look inward at yourself, or do you just go ahead with what your decision is? And the third thing, the steps, what are the steps that I need to take to be more accountable in my life? What do you need to do tonight, in the coming weeks, to become more accountable for the decisions that you make in your life? Let's remember this lesson and apply it to our lives this week. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time that we've had. Thank you for your word that is profitable for us, Lord. It's good for us, for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. We thank you, God, for the warnings that we receive in your word. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to help us submit to spiritual authority that we have in our lives. Help us, Lord, to be humble and to understand the importance of being accountable to the godly authority that you've given us, God. Lord, we know you have a perfect plan for our lives, and we wouldn't want to miss out on the goodness you have for us, God. Lord, we give you all the glory and the praise for everything you've done for us and will continue to do. And we just ask, Lord, that you would keep us once again until we meet in your house again on Sunday. We pray in your precious name, Jesus. Amen.